So we're going to be hopping around a bit tonight in our message. You know, the music that was played just now was very fitting for tonight's message. Our anchor holds. Amen. We have a very present help in time of trouble. Now, tonight's message is titled, God in the Valley. God in the Valley. Recently, Stacy, one of our very gifted congregation members, has a beautiful voice. She sang a song that really inspired me to get into the Word of God, and from there, this message came. Now, the song that she sang, God in the Valley, the song spoke of consolation. It spoke of encouragement and of hope and of peace. You know, one of the many things that we keep in mind is that my responsibility and my goals are not only to convict the heart and to lead and to grow, but also to encourage, for we have much to hope in. I couldn't help, as she sang that song, but think about the many mercies of God, that which we have, that which we cling to in our time of need. And as Stacy sang that night, the words so accurately portray something that we often forget, that the same God that is God on the mountain is also God in the valley. Though when we're in the valley, that is very difficult for us to keep our mind on that. We get so focused on the valley itself. And I think of these words as Stacy powerfully belted that song. As she sang that song, these words just record over and over in my mind. And they say, the song goes, the verse is, for the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. The God in the good times is still God in the bad times. So tonight's message is about God in the valley. If you would, please join me as we pray for the message, and then we'll hop right into this. Father God, we come to you tonight to thank you, Lord, to lift up your name, Lord, to praise and to worship, for you are worthy of it. Father, only you are worthy. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for those who could be here tonight, Lord, and for those who could not. We ask for blessings on their families, Lord, that you'd be with us, that you would use us mightily, that your church would glorify your name, Lord, and we would have a strong testimony. Father, we pray for the message tonight. Lord, I pray that you would use me in a mighty way, Lord, that you would speak through me, that you would help me to speak clearly, Lord, to think clearly, that we would all have ears that are open and ready to hear and to listen, Lord, and a heart that's open to receive. Father, that I pray that tonight's message would fill hearts with encouragement, Lord, with hope. For it is in you that our hope is wrapped, Lord. It is in you that we find encouragement, comfort, consolation in hard times. For you told us, Lord, you never ever promised us that life would be easy. You told us that we would be persecuted for your name, Lord. And Lord, it is to you that we run, for you are our shelter from the storm, Lord. You are the one on the rock on which we stand. You are the one which we cling to, Lord. You are our anchor, Father. We thank you, Father, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you would tonight, I share with you that if you are in the valley tonight, if you're facing difficult times, if you're struggling with something or finding it difficult to see the good and the gracious plan that God has for your life, then I pray that tonight's message would bless you. And in fact, I believe that tonight's message may be for you. I think we've all encountered the valley. And for those of you, if there's anyone here that hasn't encountered the valley, get ready, because it's coming, okay? We all have those times in our life. There's three points that I want to impress upon us tonight. I want to talk to you about the who, the what, and the how of God concerning difficult times. The who, the what, and the how of God. Things that we need to remember concerning God and our journey through the valley. So the first thing I want is the who, right? The first thing we want just to focus on is the who. Remember who God is, all right? There's a lot to be said there. I want us to remember who God is in difficult times. If you find yourself ever needing encouragement, if you find that you lack the strength to conquer the difficulties of life, if the world seems to be just throwing too much at you, then just stop and remember who God is. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Proverbs 18:10, The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You see, repeatedly we see the Lord represented as a refuge, as a shelter from the storm, so to speak. And that storm, of course, is the troubles of this life, the hard times, times of sadness, times of financial difficulty, times of relationship difficulties, times of struggling with our faith. There are many things that distress and discomfort, very many shapes and forms that it can take. But each and every time we see God as the one whom we should go to. He offers us protection from the fierce winds and from the rains that assail us in times of need, in times of hardship. Never do we see Christ ever promising us that life would be easy. Never. He does say to come to him to find rest there, that his load is light. Tells us to give him our woes, our worries, our hardships, to rest upon him. So whether these be situations that are results of our own actions and inaction, which often we cause many of our own hardships, many of the things that we deal with in our lives are results of the choices that we've made. But then again, there are also those times when life kind of throws us a curveball, that thing that no one saw coming, that just came out of left field, so to speak. We all have those times. You see, when you've been thrown that curveball, God offers a respite from the storm. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 24, tells us this. It says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith the soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." You see, we often forget about who God is when we're in the depths of despair, whenever we're facing those hard times. As I said just a minute ago, we get a tunnel vision, so to speak, on whatever it is, this mountain that's before us, right? This overwhelming thing that we're facing. And we forget about who God is. We fail to call to mind how good God is. It's not that we don't know, it's that we have a hard time thinking about that, to put our ease on that, to put our mind upon it. In Matthew, God promises that he will be with us to the very end, forever. The verse says that he'll be with us even unto the end of the world. And I know from experience in my own life that it's difficult to focus on the goodness of God when faced in daunting situations. But trust and know that he is able, as the song says, he is able to deliver you from hardship, as he has me. And I would imagine that if we went around the room, if I was to ask for testimonies, we would have more than enough testimony of people here who have seen God work in their lives, who have seen God come through in hard times, who have been able to say, you know, yes, there were times when I didn't know what I was going to do, or I didn't see how God was working through this. But now, hindsight is always 20/20, right? The old saying. Now that we've come through the storm and we've arrived safely on the other side, we're able to look back and say, ah, I see what God was doing. I see what God was doing there. I could see God's work in that. Don't forget that, all right? Don't forget who God is. Don't forget what he's able to do. Now, what happens is we don't see clearly in the storm because our vision is clouded, all right? Our vision becomes clouded and we have all these things in the way blocking our sight. Whenever we deal with hardship for long periods of time, what we'll see is, and sometimes this happens rapidly, it depends on what the hardship and the person, but strength can wane over time. Those things that kind of come at us and they kind of buffet against us and we think, well, I'm going to have to deal with this. I'm going to have to just deal with this situation little by little. And it seems to keep coming, and the storm seems to intensify. I think we've all been there. We're thinking, well, okay, this will be over soon. This will be behind me. And then the next thing comes, and the next thing comes. Remember who God is. It's in these times of hardship. I made a note here that it's in the times of hardship that I want to encourage everyone to take your mind off of the hardship and place it instead on who God is. Remember the verses that we just spoke of, about Christ and how God is our strong tower, how he's a refuge from the storm, a very present help in time of trouble. One of my favorite verses for seeing how God defends and is a strength for us is Ephesians 6:16, when it's talking about the armor of God. It talks about the shield of faith, right? It says, above all, notice that whenever speaking of the armor of God, of all the things that are listed there in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, it says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Your faith makes you stronger than you know. The faith that we have and the hope that we have in God. So if you're discouraged, if you're needing encouragement, be encouraged. Be encouraged that we have the Lord and that he's with us in all things. The second thing I want to talk to you about is the what. All right? The what concerning God. And when I say the what, I'm talking about when you first look at who God is, then step back after we acknowledge this and think about what he has already done in your life and what he is now doing in your life. That's the what of God. What is he doing and what has he done? Right? Often whenever I'm facing difficult times and I'm facing discouragement, when I am in the valley, I like to look at a hymn. As I've said many times, I'll continue to say this, hymns. Hymns can give you so much encouragement, so much scriptural support. They can fill your heart with joy. Those hymns, so often those hymns writers, they were able to take characteristics of who God is, of his goodness, of his mercy, of the gift of salvation, and put them into word and into song. So I like to go to the hymns to remind me of what God has done in my life and what he's continuing to do in my life. There's one hymn that comes to mind that I sang as a child, and I'm pretty sure pretty much everyone here knows it. And my mom actually gave me this advice. She used to sing this whenever I was feeling bad or whenever she was having hard times. And Count Your Blessings is a beautiful hymn, very simple hymn, very, very well known. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done. Remember the things that God has already done in your life, and that will help to encourage you and to give you strength to see who God is and how he's working now in your life today. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, when God allows his servants to be thrown into the fiery furnace, you can be sure that he has his hand on the thermostat. What he's trying to say there, what Mr. Wiersbe is saying, is that God is always in control. As the song spake of that I spoke of earlier in our message, the same God on the mountain is the same God in the valley. Whatever is happening in your life is not coincidence. I don't believe that anything happens of coincidence. Okay? Everything that happens in our lives, I view as a divine appointment. God uses everything, the good and the bad, for his glory and for us. He is bringing us up to a plan that he has. In the face of adversity, we often forget about all that God's already accomplished, right? The note that I wrote, I put this. We forget about the grace that he gave in salvation. We forget about the trials that he's carried us through thus far. When we step back and we look at what God has done, it's easy to remember that God is still God in the valley. Now, this next statement, I have to be careful how I say it because I have to make sure that I put this out there clearly. It's hard to grasp, but if you're able to understand what I'm trying to tell you, there is an amount of comfort in it, of solace in this. That statement is this. God allows trials and tribulations in our lives. Okay? That's something to very important for us to understand that. Now, I acknowledge horrible things happen in life. Hard times happen. Things that will break our hearts. Things that we don't know how to get through. Things that have happened and I've seen in my own life where I did not know. I have asked God, why? I've been there. But through it all, there is great comfort in acknowledging that whatever is happening, God is allowing. For he is on the throne at all times. He is in control. Nothing is a mistake. Nothing happens that God goes, whoops, didn't see that coming, sorry. That's not the God we serve. He knows all things. He's planned all things. All things are according to his will. Amen. That's the God that we serve. In the face of that, I say all of that to say this. Things may not turn out the way that you and I would have them to turn out. But everything turns out the way that God would have it to turn out. Because it's his will and his authority. He is in control. And we may look at this and say, God, how? And this is a question that is often asked by those who are not of the faith, who don't understand or who don't know God real well. All right? And I can understand where their heart is comes from. And I myself have asked this before I understood more. All right? The question is, how can God be so good if all these bad things are happening to me right now? How can God, how can you tell me they're a Christian believer? How can you tell me that God loves me when I'm going through this? How can you tell me that God is with us and that he's never going to leave me when this is happening in my life right now? Everything I know is crumbling down around me. I'm in the midst of losing my marriage. A loved one is about to pass or has passed. My family is about to lose their home, financial situations, relationship ties. All these things come about us and we say, I thought God was good. In those moments, I encourage you to remember, God has a plan. And I like to use an illustration here to try to push this for you here, to kind of make this clear, because I'm a man and I don't always put things out the way that I'm trying to say, but the illustration I think speaks far better than I do, all right? The thing I want us to remember here is that God is working to bring all things to an expected end. That expected end, however, is his expected end. It's not the end that you and I desire or expect. It's his plan, his will, and he's always good. So we know that the end is good. Now here's the illustration that I want to paint for you. When you see hard times and you say, God, why is going on? Why the hardship? Why the pain? Why the hurt? How is this good? I don't know that this is the perfect illustration, but I think it works well. A doctor or a dentist. Anyone here ever been to a dentist? Anyone ever been to the doctor's office and he said, well, I got good news and bad news. We're going to have to do surgery. And after that surgery, yeah, you're going to be laid up for like 6 months. You're not going to be able to get around very well. You're going to be in a lot of pain. Or if you go to the dentist and you say, oh, my tooth is aching here. I got a cavity. He says, well, that's fine. I can pull it or I can drill it, right? That pain that you go through is to bring about a better end result. Through the surgery, through the pain that's caused there, through the hardship, great healing will come, a better outcome. I look at that, and that's kind of the way that I look at this whenever I see how God uses even hardships in our lives, all right, is an expected good end, all right? So when you're in the valley, know that God is there with you too. If he's with you always, then he's in the valley with you. He's before you and behind you. It's not just you in the valley in these hard times, all right? It's not just whenever you're being blessed that God has his hand on you. God has his hand on you even in hard times. Yes, he does. As such, we know that God is able to give us strength. God is able to give us the strength to bear the burdens of this life and the things of this world. He's also able to deliver us from the tribulations, from the trials and the tribulations which God allows. I have a couple of verses here that are encouragement and that tell me of God and his ability to deliver, his ability and how he says he will be there with us. Joshua 1:9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now we know that he was speaking there to Joshua and with them about to go into the promised land and take it over. But it still applies to us today, for he has already told us in Matthew chapter 28, he said he will be with us always, even unto the end of the world. He's with us just as he was with Joshua there. And he told Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. And then those three words there that we often see anytime God gets involved, but every time we see the angel of the Lord or God come down, one of the first things he says, be not afraid. Do not be afraid of the trials and the things of this life. God is with you. Psalms 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. This is Christ speaking. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Again, he never promised that it would be easy. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The victory is already won. All of the cares of this life truly are nothing to care about. They're nothing to concern, to worry yourself about. The victory, the battle that matters, the thing that we most need to be concerned with, Christ has already won. He's already conquered death and sin. He's already provided propitiation for sin. He's paid that price. If only we would reach out and take it through faith by grace. If you're struggling, I put a note here. If you're struggling with the world today, if you have hardship, if you find yourself in the valley, remember that the victory is already won. And let that give you strength. Let that encourage you. The cares of this world are nothing to care about. You know, a pastor friend of mine, Joe Cobernat, he was kind of a mentor to me. He taught me a lot of things. And one of the things he used to tell me, and this is specifically referring to money, but it refers really to everything that's not salvation. He said, you know, any problem that we can solve with money is really no problem at all. And there's a lot of truth in that. If money can fix a problem that you have, you don't really have a problem. You have something that's not as we would want it. But the only real problem that we really need to concern ourselves with, the only thing that should bother us is whether or not we have Christ, is whether or not we have the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that all the things of this world don't need our attention, that we shouldn't be wise and discerning with them. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying don't let your heart be troubled over the things of this world, because this world is going to fade away. All of the things that we let ourselves become burdened with, that we worry over, they're all going to go away. It's not going to matter. These are things that we struggle with for but an instant in this life. These things of discouragement, of these relationship ties. The only thing that we really need to worry about that's gonna matter is whether or not we have Christ. God is in control. He will sort it all out. So we've talked about who God is, and we've talked about what God has done in our lives already. We also spoke a little bit just now about what God is doing in our lives, and to acknowledge that in hard times, God is working. He's working on you, and he's working through you. The third thing is the how. So remember God and who he is. Think about what he's done and is doing in your life. And the third is imagine. Imagine how God can work through you and through the trials that he's allowing you to have, that he's allowing you to go through. Quick story, and then we'll get right into the bulk of this, and this is something that's just near and dear to my heart, my own life experience here, try to be a blessing, try to point this out, what looks like a terrible situation. Many years later, we saw the fruit. We saw some good come out of it. My father, as many of you know, was a pastor, and my sister, her name was Toni, she passed away at a very young age. She was 17. Dad had a hard time with his faith at that time. And I'm sure at that moment he was asking some why questions of God. It's not something that we easily deal with, right? And that was a lot of pain. Many years later, my father, as a pastor, one of the roles of pastoring is counseling, often grief counseling. He came in contact with a young couple who had recently lost one of their children. And because he had been through that valley that seemed so dark and so desperate whenever he was walking through it, he was able at that point, even though it still hurt, to see God in that. Because at that point, he was able to let them know that I've been where you've been. I can relate with you. it's going to be okay. God is still God. He loves you. He's still there. And that's one thing I never forgot, is I thought to myself, wow, if God can use that even to bless somebody, if he can use that to strengthen us, wow, God. Never forget that the things that you and I are going through may not just be for you and I to grow. It may not just be for you and I to learn from. As I've said before, fire is used to refine. And God's got his hand on that thermostat, as Mr. Wiersbe explains. That being said, God can use you in a mighty way. He can use the trials and the things that you've been through, the experiences that you have, in a mighty way. Not just to bless others, but to glorify God, that his glory can be seen, that his purpose and that his plan can be seen. If what I said a moment ago is true, if God is in control and he allows the trials to come, then I want you to imagine how he's able to use us, to use the experiences that we've had to work his miracles. As we know, God uses the church, uses man, to do his will, to accomplish the things which he has to do. He's told us to go out and deliver. And I wrote a couple of notes here real quick, and then I'm going to get into some scripture verses that reinforce these things. I can't tell you the number of times that I've encountered situations where I was able to give what little wisdom that I have due to the situations that I've been in and the hard times that I've been in, or able to receive a blessing in the form of advice, comfort, or material from someone else who's been through something. For instance, sometimes I reach out to my parents, probably not as often as I ought to, guilty. I reach out to my parents to lean and to glean from their wisdom. I reach out to other pastors. I reach out to other men that I've known and say, hey, I'm dealing with this right now. Do you have any advice for me? Have you ever been here? And those men at that time are able to be of great blessing to me and my family. I'm able to use that wisdom. I'm able to see how God has used them now to be a blessing for me. When we're able to take what God has done in our own lives and bless another, God is the one that gets the glory. It's in those moments that we see God's work being done. It's in those moments that we, and here's the funny thing, when God is glorified, whenever we use that wisdom, those things we've been through to help someone else, when God's glorified because of that, it's usually in that moment that he uses that also to show us and say, see, I was with you. I am good. I had a purpose in that. You were a blessing today. I was able to use you because I gave you a little bit of pain here to bring great joy later. And I believe that's something that we're going to see more and more in the days to come. Often the hardships that we face are not only for our personal growth, but for that another may benefit. Things to remember in the valley. Your valley is not only your valley, and my valley is not only my valley. I also want to encourage you that reach out to the members of the church. What do we call ourselves? We are a church what? Bingo. Well said. Nailed it. Church family, all right? Relationship ties. A family is there whenever you need somebody, when you need support, when you need love, all right? Someone who's there in the time of the valley to pick you up, all right? God has given us a second family that we've been grafted into. And there's much strength in that. If you're in the valley, remember that not only is God with you, but your church family is with you as well. I want to bring your attention to 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Did you catch that? Let me read that second part there for you again. Let me read there verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Imagine how God can use you, how he can work through you in the hard times that you have. Turn with me, if you would. Go to John. Go to the ninth chapter of John. I want to show you something that I came upon. Actually, this was an addition to the service here that just kind of struck me, a verse that came to mind. And one of those things whenever when you're writing a lesson out, oftentimes you'll think you're done, and God will say, no, I got something else I want you to put in there. No, I got something I want you to change. This is one of those things that he put on me. I want to show you another way to see God working through our trials. I want to read John chapter 9. I want to read verses 1 through 3 here. And I want to point something out to you. John 9, 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. What was the reason for this man's hardship? Tells us right there at the end of verse 3, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Randy Alcorn, who's another pastor, I was looking through some information and trying to find different references and quotes that I could use. And a guy named Randy Alcorn, he explains it as this is what's taking place. He says it far better than I could. He said, Jesus redirected, this is his disciples, by the way, that are asking Christ this, if you're reading there in John. His disciples are the ones asking him these questions, right? Jesus redirected his disciples from thinking about the cause of the man's disability to considering the purpose for it. All right? That's what Randy Alcorn says. That's something that we need to acknowledge. Rather than focus on why we're in this situation, focus on what God's purpose is for us being in it and for bringing us through it. Right? That's what Christ was doing. He was redirecting their focus. Basically, he was telling them that this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in this man's life. That was the purpose. So although if you didn't know any better, right, you would see this man and say, oh, look at this man. He's been blind from life. How terrible is this? God, why'd you do that? Well, you fast forward so many years. I don't know how old this man was at the time. We just know he's been blind from birth, right? You fast forward years and years and years, and then we see Christ come on the scene, and we see how the glory of God is made manifest. The works of God is made manifest in this man. So there is a perfect example from Scripture, as well as the verses that I gave prior of 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 there about how our tribulation, our trials can be a blessing to others to give them comfort. But here we also see in John 9 that being reinforced, that idea of how our valley can be used of God and that it's not a coincidence, okay? We're not alone there. God's done these things for a reason. Eugene Peterson paraphrases Christ's words in this way. All right. Eugene Peterson said this, he's talking about the verse that I just gave. Basically, what Christ was telling his disciples in today's words are, you're asking the wrong question, is what he was telling them. You're looking for someone to blame. But here, there is no such cause and effect. Look instead for what God can do through him. All right. That's how Eugene Peterson put that there. And that's right. We need to focus on, in times of trouble, when we're in that valley and we have a hard time seeing, when our vision becomes clouded and we can't remember what is going on. God, I don't understand. Why am I going through this? Why am I dealing with this? Why is this happening? The three things that I encourage you to think on. First of all, remember who God is. Think about what he's done in your life and what he's currently doing in your life. And third, imagine what he's going to do through you, what he's going to do through the valley that you're in. I hope that this has been an encouragement to everybody. I hope that these are things that we're all able to focus in on and see that God is good and that he has a plan, that he's bringing us to an expected end. All right? God says that I know the plans I have for you, right? Plans to help and not to harm, to bring you to an expected end. So the three things, the who, what, and how of God, who he is, what he's done and is doing, and how he's going to work through you in the future. Next time discouragement comes your way, next time hardship comes your way, step back, stop looking at the hard time, and focus on those things. Focus on God. Because as, again, it goes right back to that song, says it all. Says it all just in those verses that Stacy's saying. The same God on the mountain is the same God in the valley. That's the God that we serve. You know, today if you're struggling, if you have some sort of a hardship in your life, here in a moment we're going to sing a hymn. It'll be a time of invitation when you can come down here and you can ask for prayer if that's something that you need or something that you desire. Maybe you don't know God. Maybe you don't have someone to walk through the valleys with you. Maybe until this moment, you've been climbing the mountains on your own, so you think. And maybe you felt alone in the valley. Maybe you don't have that relationship with Christ. Maybe you don't know that He's with you always to the end of the world. If that's the case, if you haven't made Christ your Lord, if you haven't repented of your sin, if you haven't come to God, then in a moment when we sing here and the congregation, the voices are lifted, I encourage you, I invite you, come down, let me show you from the Word of God how you can have that relationship, how you can know that when you're in the furnace that God's hand is on the thermostat. Or maybe you just need prayer. Maybe there's something that you're going through or that you've been through. Again, I encourage you to come down and we'll pray with you. At this time, would you please come forward and we'll have a hymn, invitation.